Welcome to Club Clinical, where healthcare providers meet up to talk about all things that propel the culture forward.
I like the sound of that.
What else?
Health, wealth, and all-around self-improvement. This is Club Clinical.
Hey, this is an ASMR. I'm just kidding. This is not an ASMR episode, okay? But I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this whole fill your cup, nurse, need to heal yourself, women, soft life era bullshit. Okay, first thing, this whole soft life aesthetic is cute. It is really cute. I actually love the aesthetic. I love seeing the self-care. I love seeing the eye patches and the skincare. But what I am not seeing is the truth behind the soft life, okay? I have been in the social media space for a while. It feels like a while. I'm not a 10-year veteran, but I've been online for a bit. And I have to be honest with you. Everything is not like it seems. A lot of these people online are fraudulent. A lot of these soft life girlies have sponsors. And I don't mean, that type of sponsor. A lot of times it is, so. But a lot of times these people are selling you something that they're not even doing themselves. And this happened pretty heavily in 2020 with nurses. Now, I want to go back because a few years ago, before marketing to nurses was cute, I was reaching out to companies and being like, hey, nurses are very dedicated. We work. We're a great group. Your product is something that could really be used to help nurses be able to take care of themselves better. And I was left on read a lot. In fact, I have a lot of DMs from these companies who all of a sudden switched to marketing for nurses, who I reached out to many, many moons ago, but that's neither here nor there. Anyways, in the nursing community, there are a lot of people who are selling you this, ooh, now I live a soft life era, and I live a soft life because I did X, Y, and Z. But whole time, they didn't really do X, Y, and Z to end up where they are. They just created and sold you courses. Yeah, I hate to say it. I'm gonna say it. And a lot of people are being bamboozled. A lot of people. People saying like, oh, all you have to do is take this course and do this and you will be able to work less. And it's really not that hard. I did this and your life will be better. It's hard work to get to a place where you are working less and living more. I work fucking hard, y'all. And I still am not at the place where I want to be. I still am required to go to work. And I have $2.2 million worth of real estate under my belt. I'm not exactly where I want to be. But I'm happy where I am. And the reason why I am bringing all this up about the self-care and what's being sold to people is because I mentor a lot of people who have taken these courses and have been left out in the breeze, flailing in the wind, without a foundation, without actually knowing where they're going and how to get there, because someone sold them their dream. And so here are a few things that I want to share with you all that will help you, I think, to get to a place where you are creating your own destiny, where you are formulating a plan that will work for you, and ultimately getting you to a place where you get to live more, work less, spend time with who you want to spend time with. And I think it's important. So number one is to, and this is what I coach people in my, I used to have an alignment coaching cohort where I would help people create alignment in their lives with whatever works for them, what they want their life to look like. And then we would reverse engineer it and work toward that goal, right? And so if you are a person who wants this so-called soft life and you want to be a Pilates baddie and, drink your lattes, I love that for you. That's a life I live. But I really want to give you some real tips from someone who gives a shit. Okay? Okay. So number one, start to carve out a day for yourself. Just start with one day a week. Carve out one day that is yours. A day where you do you take a bath. A day where you read for an hour go get coffee with a friend, go to a restaurant, eat a salad, or fried chicken, you know, no shame here. One day a week where you are not working for anyone, you are not necessarily required to be the sole provider of anything, you are not working, you are just getting to be. Pick one day of the week. Tell your manager, oh, I don't work on Thursdays, or I don't work on Tuesdays, and let that be your day. That day could be a day that you work on another project, a business, you paint your office, or you crochet. Just pick one day. You go to your manager immediately and say, or you're starting a new job, and you say, I do not work on this day. That is your day. That's number one, okay? And these are real, like, tangible things that I want you to do. And I want you to see how your life unfolds when you start doing them. And I want you to start to, like, even start doing things in stages, right? I want you to start, and you don't have to, like, it doesn't have to be this whole, like, huge to-do. I also want you to start journaling your wins for the day. Maybe when you first get up in the morning or at the end of the night. A few quick sentences. These were my wins for the day. Start that practice. That's number two. Number three, I want you to create your Bible of the things that you want your life to encompass, what you want your legacy to be, and what you want to be known for. I have a legacy planning that's in my Ditch the Bedside membership network. That is really, really cool, that if you want to take a look at. But start to create your life's Bible. So your mission, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to be known for when you die? What do you want people to be reading at, you know, at your wake? What do you want people to say about you? What are the things that you will allow and not allow in your friendships, your partnerships, the people around you? Start to write all those things down so that when you are in a situation where you have to make a decision or you're considering, you know, taking space from a friend, or you are analyzing how someone spoke to you, or you're analyzing a new job, or you're, you know, thinking of starting a new DIY project in your house. When you have your Bible laid out, basically kind of like your own commandments, do they match up to that? Are they in alignment with that? So create your Bible. That's number three. Number four, find a hobby. And I'm not talking about like, oh, travel is my hobby, because the way that it's marketed to us and what everyone shows you all over online is actually a form of escapism, but we'll talk about that another day. Find a hobby. And it's not just because, you know, that's what you should be doing on your day. That's solely for you. It's also for the long-term satisfaction of you and the older version of you. Because I feel like a lot of us don't have hobbies, and we literally live to work. We work all day. We come home. If you have kids, you tend to your kids, you feed them, and then you're exhausted and you go to sleep. And you have literally nothing else to live for, to work for, nothing that brings you joy. And so you're going through life doing the things you have to do and none of the things that you want to do. So find a hobby. Start figuring out what the fuck it is that you like to do. Even like when you're young, you know, when you're a young nurse or young person, your life experiences and the things that you like and dislike have been shaped mostly by your parents and your household and culture. And now, especially with social media, you may be seeing things or doing things that you don't even actually like yourself. So find a hobby, find things that bring you joy. And I don't subscribe to the, oh, your hobby can't be something that you get paid for. Like, it may well be. Like, I'm about to go to yoga teacher training and I want to become a yoga teacher and I will be getting paid to do that. Not necessarily very well, but I will still, my time will be traded for money, right? So find a hobby. Number five. Start investing. And I don't care if you're 50 or you're 30. The vehicles that you invest might be different, but you need to start investing in something that does not and will not require your time to always show up physically. We live in 2024. If you are in America, or pretty much a lot of the whole world, you live in a very capitalistic society. And you either play the game or you get played, and you end up making excuses. You turn 70 and you wonder why you're still fucking working. Okay? If you don't want that to be you, start investing. It could be in your high yield savings account to get your emergency fund up. Start there. Then maybe you're investing in your 401k with an employee match, right? then maybe you buy a house, a duplex, triplex, quadplex, and you live in one of the units, which reduces your living costs, right? Or maybe you are passively investing in a real estate deal where you give somebody $10,000, $20,000, and they give you back 10% interest. Maybe you are investing in your Roth IRA so that when you are 60 years old, you can take those earnings that you have saved and compounded for the years. Make sure it's invested. So start investing, okay? Because I personally do not believe that you can save your way to wealth anymore, especially with what's happening with our currency and what will be happening. Invest in crypto, Bitcoin, you know, just throwing that out there. So yeah, invest. Invest in learning a skill that you can take with you. If you are not a nurse, if you are just trying to figure out where to go, what to do, if you are high school or whatever, invest your time wisely. Find a mentor. Find someone that you can trust. See where they have been, what they have done, and copy what they are doing. Move your freaking body. It doesn't have to be 75 hard. It doesn't have to be any of this crazy shit that you see online. Move your body. Walk outside. Get some vitamin D on your skin. Okay? Move your body. If you are my age, you're hitting your 30s, lift some weights every now and again, once a week. Okay? We start to lose muscle mass when we get older. Lift some weights. Eat well. Whatever diet works for you. And when I mean diet, I mean what you're eating, not a certain fad diet. Whatever makes you feel good, eat that. Whatever makes your stomach, your gut feel good, eat that. Whatever makes you feel like you can make the best decisions, eat that. Eat what works for you. There's a lot online about this is the best diet, animal-based, blah, blah, blah. Fuck all that. Do what works. We are all individuals. Do what works for you. But make sure that it makes you feel good. Ooh, another one. I don't know what number we're on. Maybe 6 or 7. Buy the game Cashflow by Robert Kiyosaki and play it. Maybe get with your friends, have a little drinky drink, a little smoky smoke, whatever it is that you like to do, and play Cashflow. That's all I am going to say. Get it on Amazon and buy Cashflow and play that shit. And then I want you to analyze your life. Are you buying doodads or are you buying assets? That's all I'm going to say about that. Another thing, ignore people and what they have to say if they are not someone that you would trade places with. So you have a family member say, oh, you shouldn't buy this house right now, the market, da 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 da. Look at their life. And if that's where you want to end up, take their advice. If no, keep it pushing. Stop listening to people who have not been where you're trying to go. Best advice I can ever give you. Number 8, I think. It is never too late to be a good person. And when I say good person, I don't mean you have to be fucking nice to everybody and everyone has to like you. I mean, feel good about how you are being to yourself, to others, how you're speaking, how you're interacting with your family, friends, whatever. And I'm not talking about these abusive motherfuckers. I'm not talking about the one who sexually assaulted you when you're fucking 3. That's what I'm talking about. I read this line in a book, and it was about this man and his son. I'll say it's a woman and her daughter. How about that? And they're at the river, and the daughter looks at her mom and is like, is this river polluted? I see so much stuff in here. Is this polluted? And the mom looks at her daughter and she says, no, the river is not polluted. It's just carrying the pollution. Yeah, let that shit sink in. Okay, so we are the rivers. Okay, we are only carrying things. We don't have to be those things. You can always change what you are carrying. You have a choice, okay? So work on yourself. Start reflecting everything back to yourself. You have a judgment about somebody, okay, then you have a judgment about yourself. That same one. Because what you see in other people is also in you. Number 10, no one is ever doing anything to you. They are just doing. They are just acting. They are just being. Step out of victimhood. Leave that shit in 2023. The longer you stay in victimhood, the longer you say, woe is me, this happened to me, they did this to me, you will forever be a victim. And victims, they don't get shit done. All right? And if you are trying to get shit done, you can't be a victim. Number 11. In the beginning, shit feels and looks like a struggle. Social media has glorified the end result I am part of that problem, which is why I want to talk more on the podcast about what shit actually looks like. But you do not have the highs without the lows. That's not how the universe works, okay? Like, for instance, I'll take real estate. I'm heavily involved in real estate investing. There are times where I emptied out my bank account to zero to purchase a home, where I was asking my mom for money, moving things out of my savings just to get a real estate deal done, putting renovations on my credit card. People don't talk about a lot of that. I'm not ashamed of it. There's not a reason why I haven't talked about it. I think I spent a lot of time trying to show people the end result and show nurses specifically about what things look like to try to get them to understand that, you know, it's not as risky as they think. And I think there was a time and place for it, but I also want to show that the path of it doesn't end up looking perfect at the beginning. Coming back to how I started this podcast about the soft life bullshit, that's the point that I want to bring home, is that in order for you to have your so-called version of soft life this, you have to fucking work. If you don't want to work, if you want to point fingers and be a victim and blame billionaires, yeah, I don't think there needs to be billionaires. And like, I believe that, you know, we can end world hunger. Yeah, I get all of that. And I also just refuse to be a victim. And I think I want to end with this last one. Time is irrelevant. It will continue to tick by whether you're doing something or not. So why not do something that will make you feel, be, understand more? Number whatever this is. Celebrate every single win you can. Make everything a win. You took a test? Win. You went to work for the whole week? Win. You kept your patients alive? Win. After big milestones, make sure you celebrate, not just the typical graduation, had a baby, celebrate everything. And I think that's it for your rich cousin, auntie, nurse bestie. All right, I'll talk to y'all later.